Welcome to Sage Health On Call, your New Mexico call-in talk show about alternative, indigenous, and complementary health disciplines. Numbers for you to call in are 277-5866 in Albuquerque, and toll-free is 1-877-899-8566. I'm Halima Christie, your host. Today we have with us Dr. Stephen Weiss as our guest, who's going to be talking about integrative medicine, and we have Dr. Melinda Garcia as our co-host. And as you know, research in medicine, psychology, biology, and quantum physics over the last 30 years has shown that an integrative approach to medicine that combines all the technology of Western medicine with the laws of nature, as understood and proven in practice by traditional cultures around the world for centuries, often brings profound transformational changes that affect our entire lifestyles. The visionary and high-level wellness programs that this collaborative approach provides are changing our way of thinking about healthcare altogether, creating new paradigms for personal and planetary health. This more holistic healthcare focuses on deeply caring for the individual within the context of family, the context of community, and the context of the environment. And research has shown the effectiveness of treating illness within these larger contexts of relationships, life meaning, environment, and spirituality. So today, Dr. Stephen Weiss will be speaking about integrative medicine, blending the best of Western and alternative medicine. Our co-host today, Dr. Melinda Garcia, who's been with us as well in the past, is a child and adult family psychologist here in Albuquerque. Welcome, Dr. Garcia.
Thank you, Halima. And I'd like to introduce Stephen Weiss, MD, who is a holistic and integrative physician here in Albuquerque. And Stephen, first, I would like you to talk a little bit about what is holistic and integrative medicine.
I'd be happy to. First of all, hello, Halima, and hello, Melinda.
Morning.
And all to all the listeners as well. Well, I make a distinction between holistic and integrative medicine, both on my card and my brochure, and I'll discuss it why I do that today, because holistic medicine actually predates integrative medicine. This term has been around in this country for decades, and I actually initially called myself a holistic physician before even the term integrative medicine became well known. Holistic, I consider to be a more vertical medicine. By that I mean body, mind, emotions, and spirit within the individual. So we look at the whole person as a complete, indivisible whole. And we acknowledge and treat and respect all of these different areas, body, mind, emotions, and spirit, when we prescribe a treatment for the individual. Integrative medicine is a term that's been coined most recently in the last probably 10 years, actually, that it's become commonly used. And I see integrative as more of a horizontal medicine. By that I mean it compares, or actually it utilizes many different disciplines to help treat the individual or the patient. So for example, I use conventional Western medicine. I'm board certified in family practice, and that is my initial training. But I also have studied and use actually probably more frequently in my practice numerous other disciplines that are now been termed medicine, such as classical homeopathy. I do craniosacral therapy, which is hands-on medicine, herbal medicine, vitamins and mineral therapy. And of course, there are a whole slew of other techniques that would fit under this umbrella term, things like acupuncture, things like chiropractic. So I practice holistic and integrated medicine. I use numerous disciplines, but I also specifically treat the whole person.
You're doing the vertical and the horizontal.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Sounds like a dance, doesn't it?
Right. Well, and you know, this is very different from some people who have that classic linear model and then just have little add-ons in their practice. So how does your practice differ from that little add-on model?
Yes, I agree. There is a difference. I think what you're describing is the fact that these different, well, I would say holistic medicine begins with a different premise than for example Western medicine or conventional medicine, and I like to look at it from a Newtonian, the old model, to an Einsteinian or a quantum physics model, which is the new science, the new medicine. And actually, so for example, homeopathy, which is the discipline that I practice probably the most of in terms of complementary and alternative medicine, it does not treat individual symptoms.
Right.
Whereas usually if you go to a Western medical doctor and you have a complaint, you will get some drug that specifically usually masks the symptoms of that disease.
Right.
It doesn't actually cure most often, but it masks the symptoms. It does make the patient feel better, sometimes temporarily, but it doesn't look at everything that's going on with the patient. Classical homeopathic medicine takes everything into consideration that the patient comes in with, including their childhood traumas, including their current emotional state, including general symptoms, things that make the patient better or worse, okay, such as foods, how foods affect them, or the weather, for example, if the weather, particular type of weather triggers their headaches. So we look at the entire being, the whole individual. And because homeopathy is energy medicine, there's really not a single molecule of the original substance that was used to produce the remedy.
Right.
We're talking about which of course is something that most people, and we really don't have a good explanation for why it works, but it definitely works. And so when I say so, we believe that we're using some kind of essence of the substance that was used to make up the homeopathic remedy, and some energetic essence that affects the energy field of the human being, and not only the human being. It works on animals. It works on infants. So of the life form that can catalyze profound changes in their health and well-being. So when I say it's a different model because we're not treating individual symptoms. We're treating the whole.
And so how did you come to this different model? Because you were trained in the model where you treat individual symptoms.
Correct, I was. Well, actually, I grew up in Switzerland. I spent half of my life in Geneva, Switzerland. Of course, they have they're much more open to these other approaches than we are in this country.
Yes.
So I was initially exposed to it over there. And actually, I happened to have a chronic health condition of chronic fatigue that was quite debilitating. And I, you know, was told by my family physician that I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with you. When, of course, that wasn't the case.
Right.
That just simply meant I don't know what's wrong with you, and
yes,
I don't have the tools to help you. So I began searching and looking at other approaches to health and well-being. And I found some dietary. I went to some lectures on nutrition and diet, which were helpful. And then I actually began to meditate and do some East Indian meditation that was very profound, and was involved with a meditation group in Switzerland that is actually based in England, and traveled to England a few times. And that group was quite very much involved in numerous alternative and complementary disciplines of health, including homeopathy was one of the biggest ones that they were involved with, but there were acupuncturists that were involved, diet and nutrition. I became a vegetarian at the time. And so that was my introduction to these other methods. And in fact, and I did get help both through the meditation and through the homeopathy that I was given that did help quite a bit. And so, actually, by the time that I entered medical school, I was already a convert. And
I
already knew that I wanted to go for my career to move in this direction. And I was president of the Holistic Health Club at the University of Maryland, and was able to continually expose myself to these methods throughout medical school, throughout residency, chose various electives, as many as I could, in alternative and complementary disciplines. So. And then I went through 3 years of residency training in family practice in New Jersey, and then when I finished that, I immersed myself in postgraduate training in numerous alternative and complementary disciplines.
And so now you're a preceptor in integrative medicine here at UNM at the School of Medicine. And how is that received by your students?
Very well, very well. They now that there's a integrative medicine department at the University of New Mexico, and so students are able to take electives in integrative medicine. And so I've had numerous residents and medical students rotate through my clinic, and the feedback has been very good, and I would say that what I try to focus on in my practice is true healing. It's not just a Band-Aid approach of covering up a symptom. We're trying to really, first of all, treat the cause of the problem. And that's, I think, another distinction between most most conventional approaches and integrative medicine, is that the integrative doctor really cares about what caused the problem and tries to get at the core.
Yes.
And to, once we figure out what the cause is, we can remove it, hopefully, and help the entire, the health of the person on all levels. So the patients will see, they'll see me do hands-on work, some craniosacral, where I also will sometimes pray for the patient, even if I do it internally. I don't always do it out loud, but they'll see me, they'll see the follow-ups of the patients who have come back after they received a homeopathic remedy and a constitutional homeopathic remedy, which specifically, is one single remedy, oftentimes a single dose of a remedy that will treat all of their symptoms, and come back seeing, sometimes quite dramatic shifts in the person's health. And then sometimes I will give a drug or a medication if I feel that it's in the patient's best interest, and if sometimes there's an urgent problem or a very serious problem that can be potentially life-threatening, and I will give medications when I think it's necessary.
I have a question here, Stephen, that I remember Dr. Lovesang Dolma, who was a Tibetan doctor who traveled with the Dalai Lama when they went from Tibet to India.
Yes.
In 1959, when they were exiled. The physicians in San Francisco asked her, well, does Tibetan medicine treat everything? Because they're very holistic as well, and this model of using herbals plus other things. And she said, well, Western medicine is very good treating systemic viruses. She said, it would take me 6 months to 2 years. Western medicine, I just send my patients over there. She said, we can handle, and she even said that they have, they can handle stomach cancer. They can handle epilepsy. They have herbals for epilepsy in Tibetan medicine.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things that they cannot do. And she was very clear about that. And she said, Western medicine can do things that we can't do. And it sounded like what you're talking about, the partnership.
Yeah, I think that's what I value the most about my Western medical training. I mean, I think my training, which was 7 years and 4 years of medical school, 3 years of residency, really helped me to discern between what needs immediate Western medical intervention. And there are many conditions that require that. And, of course, some doctors, when Dr. Weil, who spoke at the UNM's first integrated medicine conference, where I was a speaker as well, he talked about the big guns, getting out the big guns. And sometimes, especially with more chronic bacterial infections, for example, or acute bacterial infections, where antibiotics have been life-saving over and over and over again, is a good example, or certainly any kind of trauma that is an acute emergency, be it cardiac, be it orthopedic. Those things are best treated usually with Western medicine. And so my training has allowed me to differentiate between what is best treated with Western medicine and what is not. And I think the acute chronic distinction is a pretty important one. That's what I'm saying, is that many, many chronic conditions are very amenable to complementary and alternative approaches. And I think often those approaches are more effective because they're not suppressive. They don't just treat the symptom. They actually try to put the patient back into a state of balance and well-being, and I believe that they can often do a better job. And most, I would say, many doctors in this country do not understand that. They don't grasp the scope and breadth of these complementary approaches.
That's right. That's right. And so when a client comes to see you, say has something chronic going on, you're working with them on the level of body, emotions, mind, and spirit. And so at what point do you refer to somebody else?
Well, at many, many points do I refer. Sometimes right off the bat when I take their case, it's clear that there's another practitioner that has expertise in a certain area that I don't have that would definitely benefit. I mean, if an example is your mm-hmm. field of psychotherapy, I frequently refer to therapists, to family therapists, to individual psychotherapists for individual psychotherapy. Or if there's a musculoskeletal condition, if I know Rolfing has been very effective in my practice, and I've referred patients to numerous different. We have a wonderful array of Rolfers in this town, actually. So when I know that there's something that I have not been able to help as much as someone else, for example, that's when I will think of those people. Or, for example, if I've treated them for a while and they're not responding as I would like, then I will think of other approaches that might help them. Mm-hmm. And I refer to acupuncturists, to transmedium psychic healers, to chiropractors, to osteopaths. I mean, the whole gamut of alternative and complementary approaches, and of course to many conventional specialists as well. I mean, the whole gamut of conventional medical specialists when the problem requires a specialist for intervention.
So there's, my understanding is that there's a nice large number of disorders that will respond very favorably to this integrated Western medicine, homeopathic, and even Ayurvedic approach, including emotional problems, skin diseases, allergies, attention deficit disorder, Parkinson's, muscular sclerosis, Crohn's disease, rheumatoid arthritis. Can you talk to me a little bit about how you would approach, not each one of them, but pick any one of them and talk to me about how you would approach that.
Sure, be happy to. Well, yes, I will just reiterate what you said, that this approach, because it's complementary, because it's integrative, which means that it pulls from many different disciplines, it really does broaden the scope of the types of problems that can be effectively treated. And so, I mean, I will say that one of the shortcomings of the Western medical model is that there are large groups of people that get left out. In other words, for whom the Western medical doctor has nothing really to offer them.
Yes.
And many of those patients, the ones that come to mind are patients with chronic fatigue syndrome, for example, which does not necessarily require all of the immune system problems that you see with chronic fatigue syndrome or chronic fatigue immune deficiency syndrome, but can still be very debilitating, like the chronic fatigue that I had. Things like fibromyalgia, things like multiple chemical sensitivities are examples of conditions that really Western medicine has very little, if anything, to offer, but we are able to help. And then there are many, many other conditions, and I would say the vast majority of conditions which can get some relief from conventional medicine, but I think can get more relief from an integrated approach. And you've enumerated some of those in that list. But I would say there's very few conditions that we can't help in. I mean, sometimes if it's an irreversible problem, potentially, and more and more of those so-called irreversible problems are actually becoming, you know, there are things that we can help, whether it's cure or whether it's just improving the quality of life and the lifespan as well. So, I mean, for example, Parkinson's is an example headaches, for example. My office manager who I hired in July came to me with pretty debilitating headaches and some menstrual migraine type headaches and some daily chronic headaches that she was taking 60 to 90 Tylenols a month for.
Wow.
And of course, you know, she has two young kids that keep her up at night, and she's a very busy lady. But so we sat down, and I got her symptoms in great detail. That included, in addition, I specifically focused on the type of headache that she had, where it's located, the sensation of the pain, if it radiated to a different part of the head. So we get very specific with the type of symptoms the patient's having. And then it turned out she had sensitivity to noise. She was background noise would really bother her. And so I gave her a single dose of a homeopathic remedy called Nux Vomica. And now, in the last 6 weeks, she's taken two Tylenols. Okay,
that's
and
terrific.
She no longer has sensitivity to noise to the extent that, to you know, that's bothering her.
Right.
I have a question about that because I have a friend who has some chronic pain, and he takes a lot of ibuprofen.
Mm-hmm.
Just to me, mouthfuls. You know, day after day after day of ibuprofen, and through. Him, I've learned that there's a lot of people out there who just kind of routinely take ibuprofen to deal with all kind of pain. What does your kind of integrative, holistic approach?
The first thing to say is that from a Western medical standpoint is that when you take too many of these, that's considered a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. Even Tylenol, but especially the NSAIDs, the non-steroidals, if you take too many of them, you get what's called rebound headaches. So actually the drug contributes to worsening of the headache. It's like a vicious cycle. So in my practice, the first session, which is an hour long, and I'd get a very comprehensive history, I'd want to know, I want to know everything I can learn about the headache. When did it start? How many years? What makes it better or worse? Oftentimes, weather affects the headaches. People get headaches before storms, that barometric pressure. Is it a tension headache? Is a person under chronic stress, which most of us are, actually.
Yes.
And so we do end up dealing with stress on some level. Do they meditate? Meditation is something that everyone can do. It's very, very easy to learn. You can do it in the privacy, in the quiet of your own home. It's extremely relaxing, and it does reduce headaches. There's double-blind studies that show that it reduces migraines.
Yeah.
So I want to find once, and I will try to make a Western medical diagnosis. One of the good things about Western medicine is you can peg things into and put a name on them, and at least that helps me triage them. It helps me know, okay, is this the worst headache of their life, which could be potentially fatal headache, and they need to go straight to the emergency room because it could be a bleed in the brain, for example, called a subarachnoid hemorrhage. Or is this a change in their headache pattern? If it's a chronic daily headache that's getting worse, that can be due to a brain tumor. So I'll get an MRI on that patient and try. The specific symptoms that they're having will help me make a Western diagnosis, which helps me then decide, okay, how can I best treat this person or serve this person? And if they're taking ibuprofen every day, I might go the homeopathic approach, in which case I will try to treat the whole person. And if I find the right remedy, then they will automatically cut back on, just like my office manager. They will automatically, the cause of the problem will be dealt with, so they no longer have to take something just to cover the symptoms. But then, you know, there may be a dietary thing. I mean, migraines are clearly caused by dietary indiscretions, or at least dietary food allergies. So we may do some testing, some blood tests to look for food allergies, or we may just get a good diet history and try to focus in on what the dietary causes are. And so we'll do a holistic approach to attack it from many different avenues and not just focus on getting rid of the symptoms. Sometimes if the symptoms are severe enough, we do have to keep the symptoms under control so they can function.
Right.
But the goal is always to get underneath those symptoms and find out why they're there.
Right. And then treat the cause.
Right.
Whether it requires a remedy or a behavioral intervention like meditation.
Correct.
That they're going to have to set aside a time to sit on their little chair or their little cushion for a certain amount of time morning and evening and reduce the stress.
Yeah, I mean, that brings up a good point, which is, again, a distinction between this integrative approach and conventional medicine, which is that this medicine, integrative medicine, is more proactive, patient, proactive. In other words, the patient has to take control of their health and of their lives.
Right.
And you know, it's not a quick fix. I mean, sometimes homeopathy can be, the example that I gave you was an example of a quick fix, but it's not, that's probably more the exception than the rule, okay? Usually, even though the remedies are very powerful and they do, can change even lifelong, I mean, lifelong problems. Lisa has had headaches for, I think, 15 years. This mm-hmm. is a chronic problem. So it can do that, but it can, but more often than not, the patient has to make changes that will require their time and effort to make more healthful changes in their lives, including dietary and meditate, you know, lifestyle changes. But I think the rewards make it all worthwhile.
Well, sure. I mean, when you're pain-free, you're happy.
Yes.
I want to remind our audience you're listening to KUNM. 89.9 your radio dial. You're listening to Dr. Stephen Weiss, who's an integrative physician here in Albuquerque. Our co-host is Dr. Melinda Garcia. And the numbers to call in to join the conversation are 277-5866 in Albuquerque and 1-877-899-5866 for people outside the Albuquerque area, toll-free number. So call in if you have questions or comments or about experiences you've had with holistic medicine or integrative medicine, particularly Stephen's area of expertise in holistic medicine is homeopathy and herbals. And so please join the conversation.
Stephen, I have another question that I'm just really interested in. You have an infrared sauna there in your office as part of the work that you do with people. And so I'd like you to talk a little bit about chemical sensitivities and detoxing as part of the treatments that many people need.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Yes, it's called a far infrared sauna. And over the years, my practice has had numerous patients with chemical sensitivities. And one of the frustrations, even for an integrative doctor, was that very little was helping these patients, and they were suffering enormously. And one of the worst illnesses I can think of, because these people can't go into shopping malls, and they can't be around other friends who put perfumes on, and it's just extremely alienating. And so one of my colleagues up in Santa Fe, who was on the show just a few months ago, we interviewed Dr. Erica Elliott, and she...
Yeah.
has a practice that specializes in environmental medicine, and she told me about the far infrared sauna and the excellent results she was getting with numerous patients, including those with chemical sensitivity. So I decided to get one for the office, and it has been quite a helpful tool in helping many different patients, including patients with allergies. I have patients who have been able to stop their allergy shots because of frequent saunas. And in fact, they liked it so much that they bought the sauna for their home.
Wow.
And these are special kind of saunas.
They are.
So
I'll talk
like
a little bit about
sauna.
This. I'll talk about the distinctions.
Yeah.
They are different. And the differences are that, well, many people who are chronically ill cannot tolerate the high heat of a regular conventional sauna, which goes up to 180 to 220 degrees. And many of my patients who are chronically ill they say, I just can't.
It's too much.
It's way too much. And they can't even go in there for even a few minutes. So the far infrared sauna is different in that it actually has 2 to 3 times more potency for detoxification. But we usually treat people at 125 degrees Fahrenheit.
So
that would be a bit of a problem. Yes, yeah, so we'd have boiling patients.
Well, maybe we could stop here because we have a couple of callers and then
get back to
this.
The far infrared.
Okay. Ken in Albuquerque, welcome to the program.
Hi, my name's Kim.
Oh, Kim, sorry.
That's fine. I'm
welcome.
Actually calling about my 3-year-old daughter, and we have always noticed that she's experienced growing pains. When she was little, around 18 months or so, she used to complain that her hands hurt. And recently, it has been her thighs and her shins to the point where now she's waking up 2 and 3 times a night, sometimes even more often than that. And last night, she actually had a low-grade fever and was complaining about growing pains. And all we've done for that is just give her Tylenol. I was wondering if you have any information you could give me about that.
Yes, I'd be happy to. I've actually treated some children with this problem, and it is amenable to homeopathic treatment. However, again, because homeopathy is individualized medicine, by that I mean you can give 10 different homeopathic remedies for patients with growing pains, for example, or with pneumonia or with headaches. So I would have to take your daughter's complete case to find out the quality of her pains, if they occur at night more often in bed versus during the day, if it's worse when she walks on them. And so once I get and what her food desires are and any emotional issues that she's been experiencing, once I get the full picture, I can usually match that the totality of her symptoms with a homeopathic remedy, and have been able to help patients or children with this problem.
Okay, yeah, because she seems to, the onset of the growing pain seemed to happen after midnight.
Okay.
But during the day, if she does take a nap that day, during a period of growing pains, she'll wake up with a headache from her nap.
Okay, we see all of this will, and I have a sophisticated computer program, because there are 2,000 homeopathic remedies approximately that we can choose from. So when I about, for example, if we can find a remedy that specifically has headache after a nap, for example, which we may be able to find, that will key me right in to some of the, from 2,000 probably down to just a handful of remedies that might be able to help your daughter. And then we pull in, you know, the specifics of her bone pain, and we can match it quite nicely usually and make a difference.
Do you know, is a low-grade fever common with growing pains, or could that possibly be something different?
I have not heard of that with growing pains, so that could be something different.
Okay.
How high is the fever?
Very low, 9,900.
Mm-hmm. And this is for how many days?
This was just last night.
Just last night.
Yeah, we've never experienced a fever with this, so she could be having something else.
Yeah, that would be my guess,
okay,
that it's not related.
Okay, well, thanks for your help.
You're welcome. And if you're interested, the number for my office is 872-2611.
872-2611.
Yeah, that's my office here in Albuquerque.
Thank you.
Sure, you're welcome.
Bye.
Thanks for your call, Kim. We have another caller, Lorenzo and Magdalena. Welcome to the program, Lorenzo.
Thank you.
Hello, Lorenzo.
How are you today, doctor?
Great. How about yourself?
Well, a little bit stressed here and there.
Yeah. Yes.
Even though, you know, I've been meditating now for 32 years.
Yes.
Doing advanced meditation techniques.
Great.
And studied at MIU. Pardon?
No, we didn't say anything. Oh,
I also have a history of colon cancer,
mm-hmm,
which I got through with flying colors. It was in 1991.
Okay.
And managing all of that with advanced meditation techniques.
Wow.
But most recently, about 18 months ago, I started to get spasms in my esophagus.
Okay.
And after a battery of tests, motility tests, etc., they diagnosed it as nutcracker esophageal spasms.
Okay.
And boy, do they hurt.
Hmm.
I mean, it sent me to emergency like 5 times in 1 month.
Wow. That's
so now we're controlling it with medication.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't particularly care for.
Are you on nitrates?
I'm taking Protonix.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also taking half the dosage of Mobic. You've heard of that?
Mobic?
Mobic.
I have not.
Okay, it's an inflammatory drug.
Okay.
And the dosage that they gave me was 7.5. I cut it in half.
Okay. And okay, it is controlling the symptoms?
So far, yeah.
Okay.
And what I've done is I put myself on a strict alkaline diet.
Okay.
The only thing, the diet is getting very boring. And I'm beginning to feel nauseous about, you know, some of the proteins that I'm taking in, mostly soy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to expand that if that's possible.
Expand the diet.
expand the diet, right? Mm-hmm. And also, if acupuncture would be helping in any way.
Well, I think that's, I have actually not treated anybody with esophageal spasm with Nutcracker. And, So I don't know if you'd have to speak to a doctor of Oriental medicine to see if they believe it could be helped with that. I think
speak with who?
To a doctor of Oriental medicine, an acupuncturist.
I see.
Yeah, and to see if they think that this is something that's amenable to acupuncture. Because I'm not an acupuncturist and I haven't studied it, so I can't say for sure. Although acupuncture, like homeopathy, can treat any number of conditions, and I would venture to bet that it could help. Do you have an acupuncturist in your area?
We hardly have anything here in Magdalena.
With a very large array.
Yeah.
What about homeopathy, Dr. Weiss?
Yes. I haven't personally treated anybody with this, but there are numerous spasm remedies. In fact, Nux Vomica, the one I mentioned earlier, is a spasm remedy, and it can treat. And it is also a GI tract remedy. So,
what is this?
Well, again, homeopathy, classical homeopathy, we again don't treat individual symptoms. So I'm not recommending that you actually go out and get this and try it, even though there may not be a great harm involved. Although sometimes homeopathics can cause problems if you're not careful. So really, you should be treated constitutionally, because you've got a lot of other things going on. And if you suppress the esophageal spasm and you don't treat the whole person, it's even possible from a homeopathic standpoint or a homeopathic philosophy that you actually worsen your colon problem because you're just masking the esophageal problem without actually curing you. So I would want a remedy that could also possible. I mean, you may be cured of this colon problem. I don't know. It sounds like it's been many years and it's probably gone, but that susceptibility is still there. So we would want to treat you as a whole and not just to give you something to eliminate those spasms.
Right. Well, I've been on an herbal treatment for a long time, and I noticed that when the spasms first started, I was able to treat it with calcium and chamomile.
Mm. That's pretty benign treatment right there.
Yeah, because the calcium to stop muscle spasm,
mm-hmm.
and the chamomile to soothe the digestive tract.
Yeah, and it worked at the beginning.
It worked for about 4 or 5 months, right?
Okay, but then it got worse.
It got worse.
Yeah, and okay.
Well, I think that it sounds what you're saying, Stephen, is that the constitutional aspects of homeopathy might be very suited for this kind of thing with Lorenzo's talking about as well.
Yeah, I think certainly it could offer relief potentially.
Okay. Yes. But Lorenzo, thanks for the call.
Yeah, may I say, is it possible to come for a session with you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, the number in Albuquerque, Lorenzo, do you have a pencil there? It's 872-2611.
Right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Lorenzo.
Thank you for calling.
See you soon.
Okay,
yeah.
Bye-bye.
And we have another caller, Curry in Albuquerque. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Did I pronounce your name right?
That's fine, yes.
Okay.
I have several questions to ask. One thing that I would like to address to Dr. Weiss. Did you say that you were a part of the UNMH Medical Center or the school over there or what?
Well, I am a preceptor for them. In other words, their students rotate through my clinic and learn integrative medicine. I haven't yet applied for an official title. I was an assistant associate professor. I'm sorry, not a clinical assistant professor many years ago in family medicine, but then I let that lapse. And now it's simply a matter of applying for it. But basically, I do train some of their students and residents.
Oh, all right. Okay. That's one of the things I would like to talk with you about at a later time as well. But I have two major issues that's going on with me and my family. And the one that is most pressing, I have a granddaughter who has developmental problems, and she has severe spinal problems, and she is scheduled, well, she's going to be scheduled for a quite extended operation this summer for scoliosis, kyphosis, and lordosis, and it's to the point where she's losing feeling and sensation, and also there is the danger of it puncturing the growth of her spine, puncturing her vital organs. And she also has numerous other problems as well. And I wanted to ask, do you or would you be willing to see a child who is on Medicaid? Because that's the problem that we people who don't have money is getting the care that we know that would be available if we had money.
Yes, I understand. This came up in our discussion this morning at breakfast when we were preparing for the show. Melinda asked me that a similar question. Well, as it has, I actually do not, I'm not a Medicaid provider, unfortunately. So, but there are, this is predominantly a financial decision. I will say that, you know, I spend a full hour with a new patient and half an hour with for follow-ups. I see about 8 patients a day, and in order to run a practice such as mine, I found it financially impossible to accept Medicaid. However, we had a show, or Halima actually hosted a show just last month, I think.
Yeah.
It was, where there is a clinic in Albuquerque that does receive federal funding, that has an openness and an interest and does utilize complementary and alternative medicine. Maybe you can tell her a little bit more.
Yes, it's called First Nations
Community First Health Nation. Source.
I know where First Nations is.
Oh,
First
good.
Nations over there on Zuni, yeah.
Right.
First Nations on Zuni, right.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
They do work with everyone and anyone in the community, whether or not someone is Native American, although they have a Native American program for people who do want that kind of medical assistance. They treat everyone.
The other thing is that, and I want to really emphasize this to our audience, is that as you as the healthcare consumer can ask your or your daughter's primary
right.
care physician to consult with certain people. So Stephen's available for consultations. Even though he doesn't take Medicaid, he's certainly available for a telephone consultation with your daughter's physician.
Oh,
or
okay.
If you took your daughter to First Nations Community Health Source, he'd certainly be available for a telephone consultation with the physicians over at First Nations.
Mm-hmm.
So the more client healthcare consumers request of their physicians that they come up to speed on integrative and holistic medicine, then the more the physicians will need to be going for that. But if we're very passive consumers, then the physicians just kind of get to go on the track that they were trained and not really expand and integrate their horizons.
Right.
And so I have seen that a lot in my own practice because I work a lot in my practice as a psychologist with people with very complicated medical pictures.
And what's your name, by the way?
I'm Dr. Melinda Garcia.
Dr. Melinda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Linda Garcia. And you're the one who's the psychotherapist?
Yes, I'm the psychologist.
You might say your phone number,
and
too, for anyone who wants to check with you.
My phone number is 247-3303, and I'm here in Albuquerque in Old Town.
Okay.
And
okay.
So I do work with people and encouraging them and teaching people how to be advocates for their own health care so that they can get the kind of integrative approaches that they need from their primary care providers.
Well, that's the problem that I'm having because that's the route that I choose, and I'm just running into all kinds of obstacles and difficulties because downright discrimination because I don't want to follow the conventional Western model.
Right.
And this is the other thing I want to ask both of you as well, or all of you people and also the people in the community for all the listeners, is that I feel and I want that we as a community of people in this country that we need to impress upon these people who are making these laws that we need to have a say and a voice in our own health care, and we don't want to take drugs for everything.
Right.
Yeah, hallelujah.
And drugs is not necessarily the cheapest and most effective model, although that's what the lawmakers are saying.
And I know,
so,
and that's what that's what Medicare is all about. It's just drugging the whole entire nation.
Yeah, you're making a very important and significant point, and thank you for that. That's what Dr. Melinda Garcia has been talking about that for a long time, about really insisting. If we insist from our doctors that they become more informed in these different and combinatory and alternative approaches, then they will have to do that. It's just, you know, so keep your voice up with that, and then also call First Nations and see what they have to offer, and then call Dr. Weiss or Dr. Garcia and see what you work. Good luck with your daughter, too.
And
your, it's a granddaughter,
and
right?
And be sure and vote.
Oh, I definitely am. I definitely am.
Yes.
The other thing I want to ask, is this show on every week? I just happen to turn the radio.
Well, it's funny you should ask, because thank you for asking, because we're just talking with the radio station here, KUNM, to go. We've been going once a month on the second Sunday of every month for about 4 years now. And we're going to be, we're hopefully going to once a week, but we've been talking to them, and the, you know, the problem is finding the right time and the right engineering and all of that. So, you know, keep us, we'll keep you posted, but we really are, we want to do that. We want to go to once a week because there's so much health information here, right in Albuquerque, right in New Mexico, and right in this country about this kind of integrative and holistic health care.
I want to say to KUNM listening, too, we want more of these kinds of shows rather than a bunch of nonsense they put on.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Goodbye. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We have another caller on the line, Amy in Albuquerque. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. Dr. Weiss?
Yes?
I have rheumatoid arthritis, which gotten worse and worse, and now I'm really in bad shape because I can't do very much. And nothing seen from the conventional helps me.
Mm-hmm.
I tried so many things, and I was just wondering if the homeopathy and the other holistic... I tried years ago vitamin C and ozone, and nothing helps.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so frustrated, and I think because of all the stress, I started getting headache in the last couple of weeks from the back, from my neck, the bottom of my scalp going up. And it's just I was a very active person, and now I'm. It's just so I want to cry all the time.
It can be a very debilitating condition.
The funny part, the sad funny part is I paid into long-term care for so long, and now that I need the help, I have to be half dead. I mean, before they can help, before they're willing to help me.
Yes, it's true. It's the system's a little upside down, isn't it, sometimes?
Oh, absolutely. And I agree with this woman who called before, too. I mean, it's really so frustrating.
Yeah.
Well,
so
what could you...
Well, I have treated a few patients with rheumatoid arthritis, and the results are mixed.
Uh-huh.
There are a few patients that have done quite well with homeopathic medicine, and we've been able to cut back some of their Western medicines and reduce inflammation.
Uh-huh.
I have one patient that's was on methotrexate and Plaquenil. I don't know which drugs you're on.
Oh, I was on methotrexate. However, and I got lung infection from that. They say one in a million. I was the one.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and I was in the hospital. It was very touch and go.
Yes. So we've taken her off methotrexate.
Right.
And she's on the Plaquenil now.
Well, that's a dangerous thing, too. You could go blind.
Well, it is. Those two drugs are both very dangerous. And so she's, but of course, this is an example. When you have a chronic debilitating disease like rheumatoid arthritis, you shouldn't expect a quick fix. It is a long process, but we have made progress, and you know, she is great. I mean, what we did is when we took her off the Plaquenil, mm-hmm. her disease flared up incredibly,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and she got worse because she wasn't on a suppressive drug.
Right.
And then I've treated her homeopathically over the months,
yeah.
and she is gradually improving and doing more and in less pain, and she's off this major toxic drug.
Oh,
so,
it's awful.
Yeah, and then another case that I've seen, and I, it actually took me four remedies. The first three remedies partially, they didn't really, they helped, they had some effect, but they weren't really helping her arthritis. And then finally, the fourth remedy called Causticum has started to reduce her knee inflammation significantly, at least by 50%.
Uh-huh.
She's more mobile, her energy has come up, mm-hmm. and she's just a more productive person now
mm-hmm.
and feeling better. So, you know, and it doesn't, and then of course, there are nutritional interventions. I put people on elimination diets to try to uncover their food allergies that might be, which often are contributing to some extent to this disease.
I feel it's more in my case. I mean, I think everybody it affects differently, but in my case, it's very emotional stress.
Yes. Well, and there are certain homeopathic remedies that can actually address both the
mm-hmm.
whatever the emotional component is and the joint inflammation component together. So we would try to find a remedy that would match your symptoms and slowly try to get you off some of these medications.
Is there a long wait to come and see?
Not that long. Oh. That's between 1 and 3 weeks.
Oh, dear. Okay, because all my joints are really, I think they very bad.
Okay,
they're gone.
Yeah, well, you should call the office. You have the number?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. And then
872-2611.
What?
Yeah, and then sometimes we use herbal remedies just to try to get the inflammation under control while we're treating with homeopathy.
Right.
And there are various herbal combinations that I use. There's also something called a medical food that reduces inflammation that you take as a shake that can is quite
really?
Fairly effective at reducing inflammation.
Right.
So one patient had dramatic response from that food with rheumatoid arthritis. So there are, you know, there are other approaches that could help.
Yeah, I became a vegetarian 5 years ago.
And, yeah, that usually
but it
helps.
Doesn't really.
It didn't do the trick.
Nothing helps. I seem to get worse, and I want to get off those toxic.
Yeah.
I'm on Humira now, which is kind of a test, and it's still in testing period. So.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you have an enthusiasm to get on the right program for this.
Oh, I sure do, and I'm kind of new here, so I didn't know who to turn to, so I was glad to hear you.
That's
your
great.
Program is wonderful.
Oh, great. Well, thanks for calling,
yeah.
and I'd be happy to do my best to help you whatever way I can.
Okay, I'll call you often.
Okay.
Thank
Bye.
You for
Thank
calling,
you,
Amy.
Bye-bye.
We have another caller in Albuquerque. Christy, welcome to the program.
Hi there. As a result of some skin issues in the past, I had a dermatologist who put me on some antibiotics, and as a result of that, I've developed a candida problem.
Mm.
And
that occurs often.
But the skin problem hasn't gone away, so I'm wondering, are there any ideas of how to get rid of this quickly?
Oh, yes, there are many ideas. The question, what have you tried so far for chronic candidiasis or candida-related complex?
Well, for the past, you know, 6 months or so, I've pretty much eaten nothing but vegetables. So I'm on a no-sugar, no-yeast diet. I did the caprylic acid, bunch of different herbs, and now I'm trying a different sort of enzyme.
Mm-hmm. Have you gotten any relief?
Not really. So I'm wondering, maybe could it be something else that is causing this, or?
Well, it always could be. I mean, without examining you and getting a deeper, more comprehensive history, I can't, you know, tell you if there's something else going on. But it could be. I mean, that's always when. You treat something that you think, you know, when you think you know what you're treating and you treat it and it doesn't get better, that's a red flag that it could certainly be something else. Or some candida problems require pharmaceuticals, actually. I mean, sometimes you have to give Diflucan or a stronger antifungal to really get control over it. And then also there are underlying causes. I mean, candida is an immune system problem. Because candida is a normal inhabitant of the gut and of the human body. And so when it goes, and certainly the antibiotics, it sounds like, triggered this, but there may be other immune issues that need to be addressed before you can get a handle on the candida. So We look, you know, for example, heavy metal toxicity, which the far infrared sauna can help with, or we also have other ways to pull out heavy metals from your body, and to look at just a whole array of other potential causes of immune system dysfunction.
And also, when you see parasites in someone's system, is it have the same symptoms as candida?
It depends. Candida, I mean, certain parasites cause certain symptoms, and candida can cause just about any symptom in the book if you believe Dr. Crook's book on candida, right? I mean, just about anything imaginable can be caused by candida. So candida is a very broad term. Specific. I mean, we also test for parasites, and we send the stool to labs out of state, actually, that have a better track record of picking up parasites. And then once we find out what the parasite is, we specifically focus our treatment on that parasite. There are also milk fasts that can sometimes do with herbal remedies that my girlfriend, who's a doctor of oriental medicine, has been using those for years and with good success. So there are many different ways to get at these parasites, but they can cause systemic symptoms as well, and they can cause, and oftentimes candida and parasites work hand in hand. Okay, so they may be, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your call, Christy.
Yeah.
And again, the number to call is 872-2611 if you wanted to talk with Dr. Weiss more. And we have another caller, Arnold in Las Vegas. Welcome to the program.
Why, thank you. Thank you. I just am assuming that your guests have heard of the great work that Cuba does with natural medicine.
Oh, well, we actually had,
yeah, we had Dr.
Carl Robinson on the program, who has a clinic, a homeopathy clinic in Cuba.
Uh-huh.
But that's, and we know some things.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, just related to that, we're going to have a conference on Cuba medical scholarships. Cuba has offered 500 full medical scholarships for students to study medicine in Cuba. And this would be a great opportunity for somebody who wants to, you know, specialize in green medicine to come to this conference. It's going to be on October 16th, Saturday, the Friends Meeting House on 1600 Fifth Street.
Here in Albuquerque, Arnold?
Here in Albuquerque, uh-huh.
And then could you tell me a little bit more about those scholarships?
Yeah.
Because I had gotten an email several months ago that the U.S. government was considering not allowing U.S. students to take Cuba up on those scholarships.
Yeah, luckily they thought better of that, and Colin Powell himself intervened in this, and students now have a license, an exception to study on this program.
Well, Arnold, can you give us a number where people can call more about the conference and everything,
sure.
Scholarships? What's the number they can call?
It's
405-454-6771. 454-6771?
Yes.
Okay, and ask for Arnold?
No, ask for Miguel.
Miguel, okay.
Yes, and we are having this conference, as I said, on October 16th.
Fantastic.
At the meeting house.
Great. And the conference starts at what time and is over at what time?
It starts at 9 a.m. and it's over at 6 p.m. And it's for students who are interested in maybe looking into this program.
Great.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Arnold.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Okay, we're coming to the end of the program, but we wanted to ask Stephen about this new... Everybody knows that dolphins have a very unusual consciousness. They have... an ability to communicate in different ways. Stephen, you've been working with dolphins, or you're going to go to Bimini?
Yeah, I'm
going to
be co-leading a trip to Bimini, Bahamas in April, where we're going to be swimming with wild dolphins and doing meditation and probably some yoga. It'll be a wonderful trip, about 12 to 18 people, and I invite you all to join us.
Yeah. Give the website, Stephen.
Oh, yeah. My co-leader, his name is Joe Noonan. It's www.joe.com, where you can learn more about these trips.
Because these animals have a very harmonious way of communicating that we can learn a lot from.
Yes, they're wonderful beings,
so
and they're joyful and playful, and we need more of that in our lives.
And we thank Dr. Stephen Weiss here in Albuquerque, and Dr. Melinda Garcia here in Albuquerque as well, psychologist here in Albuquerque. Thank you so much. We also thank Roman Garcia, our KUNM engineer, and Ralph Genter, our phone engineer today. And we want to just remind everyone that good health is a matter of choice. You have a lot of choices, and there are a lot of resources in this Albuquerque and New Mexico area. And so please call us here at KUNM if you need to do that to find referrals, or you can email us at sagehealth, one word, sagehealth@earthlink.net if you had any more questions about referrals. Have a wonderful month, and look forward to us being on once a week, we hope. Salud.